Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your wonderful blessings to us. We praise you for the example of your wonderful Son, for his sacrifice on our behalf. And we praise you for the good, for the power of influence that you are able to work through us for others. Please help us, Lord, to take something from this meeting today. Help us that we might share the bread of life with others, to show mercy as we were given so beautiful a lesson just now. Please give Peggy a special blessing that she can teach us and show us your love and your beauty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know why y'all wouldn't come down front, because you said that I'd call your name, because I can't see that far. These glasses, do y'all have that problem? Seem like my glasses run all over. But anyway, thank you for coming up. I appreciate it. Sister Belcher's up here, so if anything happens to me, Sister Belcher will just carry on. She has been carrying on for a lot of us for a lot of years. Do you know who Alma Faye Price is? Her mother and daddy were Mr. and Mrs. G.C. Moreland, Dr. Moreland. In fact, Dr. Moreland, if I'm correct, wrote the school song. So you see what a heritage we have. Nancy Boone is Nancy Adams Boone. She is the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Walter Adams, Dean Adams. He was vice president too after we left, but don't you see what a heritage we have and how their lives magnify the Lord? I want to call your attention again to this beautiful window, 380 colors we talked about. And you know, I told you this morning it was cloudy, and my favorite time is just about this time, a little bit later, but you'll notice how beautiful it is. And every time you're in here, you'll see a different shade in that window. And that's you and me, isn't it? In your congregation, which one of those is you? But do you see, when we put ourselves together, you know, all by myself, I may not be very much. But when I'm in that window, I am part of God's plan for this world. The song, does that set the tone for you? I love songs. I love it. And I'm suggesting to you, Carl Burkeen told me that when we talk together, to try and suggest to you things that you will take back and do in your congregation. And if it doesn't work, don't tell me. If it works, give me another idea. But so many times when we've had ladies' Bible classes, we pick a song. And so that's why I picked "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." We one time had a Bible class, and we used "Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me," and we sang it every time we came together. Because you see, when I got into a problem, that song popped into my mind. Because I wanted the beauty of Jesus to be seen in my life. I didn't want my neighbors to know how tacky I really was. See, I wanted them to think, it's not me that's beautiful, though, is it? It's God's light, like this window, shining through us. You can do the same thing with the scripture, and I know many of you have. What scripture are you studying? Bill and I study the same scripture over and over again. And when he is in Chicago at 10 o'clock at night, he is studying the same scripture I'm studying in Abilene. You see, we're together, aren't we? So, as a suggestion, why don't you just sing the same song every time? For some of us who are not musicians, I finally learned how to sing "Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me," whatever song it is, and ones you think you can't do. Again, I want to read you a little excerpt from the book I'm enjoying now, "Catch the Dream" by Clark Potts. I'd like to tell you all about him. He is a beautiful spirit. And his spirit has come through in so many things in this book. Today I'm reading right now from page 130. One day the master teacher walked by a large office building that was under construction. "Who's building this building?" he asked. "I am," replied one of the workers who was busily laying bricks. "I am," said another one who was carrying large bundles of insulation. I am, said the electrician and the plumber. In fact, a virtual chorus of I am echoed in the hollow cavities of the new building. That evening, the master teacher's disciples came to him and asked, Teacher, why did you ask who is building this building? For everyone knows that the Acme Industrial Company is financing its construction. The master builder smiled as he gently said, Many there be who build, each with his own talent. The one who lays the brick is as needful as the one who erects steel or installs plumbing or wire. Be not deceived. Each one of us has an ability, and no one must think his craft more vital than the other. O Lord, our master teacher, help each one of us to see that we are all workers in your building, the church, and that our individual talents are special and useful, and you don't expect or want all of us to do the same thing. Help us to see the balance you seek as we catch your dream. You see, we all have a part. Philippians 3 and 12, not that I have already obtained or am being made perfect, but I do what? I press on. I don't let those things of the past. You know, the first time I gave a talk, it was horrible. But you know, somebody said I got better. Because they asked me to do it again. I think Beverly Ator knew where that was. In fact, she may have been in my audience at that time. It was pathetic. But at least I got up there. And I've been getting up there ever since. So all of us have a part. Whatever your part is, don't take it away from the Lord. Now, I told you today, if you'd come back, I'd tell you what was in this basket. We talked this morning about bread of life, and I did tell you that bread is the staff of life for nourishment for our physical bodies. But we also need emotional nourishment that our friends give us. And so to make this meaningful, all of us have different friends, different shapes, different sizes. Those girls on campus that have the 19-inch waistlines, and we love them anyway. But you see, we all have different things to give. And when we suffer from nutritional deficiencies, things are wrong with us. But also when we don't have emotional nutrition, we have deficiencies, don't we? You're more inclined to fuss and feud when you don't have that emotional love. So you see, God knows so much. When we do not consume support that comes from quality, meaningful relationships, we have problems. So the first one I told you about this morning, now for y'all that were here, please don't ruin my teaching. What was this? Poor boy. And why did we talk about it? Because we've always got those people who have gotten it much worse than me, right? And then we also said there are people that are poor in material values, and then there are people, we need people, friends who make six times as much as I do, because you can't imagine the kind of problems they've got. I think the Lord hadn't given me money because I wouldn't know how to handle it if he did. But don't you see, we need this kind of friend, though, because she has a different kind of problem, right? But she's part of this glass. She's part of the building. We need each other. And I need a sympathy with her problem. Then if I ever get rich, I'll know how to handle it. All right, number next, what's this? In case you don't know and don't say the right answer, that's a Kaiser roll. That's an ethnic roll. Are y'all locked into one kind of friend? White, over 50, and overweight like you? me? You know, but that's what we do. Now, Lord, I just can't have any friends that, you know, just not like me. But you know, my family's German. And German people often are kind of reserved and quiet. My mother always worried about me. She wasn't sure. But God loves Germans too, doesn't he? He loves me. But you see, when I see my friends sometime, do y'all only have friends of one kind? When we went to Thailand and Parker Henderson, we climbed to the top floor and we said, Parker, don't you know it's only scriptural to have the worship place on the bottom floor? And he said, but in Thailand, they don't want anybody's feet on where they worship. But you see, every time we have a different friend, does my perspective grow? And am I able to accept your, you remember we talked about those idiosyncrasies this morning? And I can bear with you gently. So I need a friend who is different than me. Do I get so locked in that I can't have anybody with another culture? My black sisters, as I tell you, I love to be with them. They'll answer you. They'll just talk right back to you. And you feel like, man, I've done something. I got, and some of you are going to sleep. It's so warm in here. But you never worry about your black sisters about going to sleep. But don't you see, we need different friends. We need Kaiser roll, ethnic friends, Mexicans, Filipinos. They all have something different for them. But they are a child of the King, just like you and me. And that's what we need to learn. Okay, number next. This is a bran muffin. Do you have any health food friends? Our daughter-in-law, Sid Teague, works for Cooper Clinic sometime, and she runs 6 miles a day, and I love her anyway. But what's important, she loves me because I don't. Do you have any health food friends who say to you, Peggy, you shouldn't eat that second piece of pie? Or the friend, I had surgery this summer, and when I came out from the anesthetic to look in the room and see the people. Do you have any health food friends that'll go with you to the doctor? You see, that's a particular ministry for some people. That didn't used to be my husband's ministry. He'd say, honey, I'll do anything if you won't make me go to the hospital when the women have surgery. But you know, he's had surgery since then, and he is the best visitor. He's much better than I am. Shirley Lewis had surgery this summer, and Bill went and held her hand. And she said, when I woke up, he was holding my hand. Do you have any health food friends? You see, we need these different things. We cannot have friends of just one square. We need all these. Because what are we doing? We're magnifying God. But I need this. I get so many times I get caught in these ruts. Why is it we do that? Now, again, on this health food, you know, our care group at church, I saw Lillian Huff this morning, we've tried a new thing in our care groups. We don't have food. It's not working. I mean, it's unscriptural to have a meeting and not eat, right? But you know, sometimes we really do get locked into certain things. So if it doesn't work, you know, I mean, you don't need to be locked in cement. Throw it out, throw it over your shoulder and change. But don't you see, I need a friend who will say to me, we need to rethink this. And we take health for granted, don't we? Until you lose it or you're afraid of losing it or till it's threatened, don't you sometimes? One of the freshman girls came up this morning and said, now, Peggy, don't talk about freshmen because we're here listening to you. But sometime, I remember when I was younger, I was always going to be 120 pounds and a 22-inch waist. And you notice where I'm standing. You can't see me. So don't take it for granted. Take care of yourself. This is a temple, and I really am speaking to myself on this. We need to be careful, but we need friends who will say to you, Peggy, I'll walk with you. The next thing, do you have any crusty breadstick friends? If she smiled, her face might break. Y'all have any of those? Now, y'all are all smiling at me. But you know, you and me have seen those kind of people, haven't we? That just bless their hearts, they look like they really have indigestion. Maybe y'all don't have any of those friends where you live, but we have them in Abilene, don't we, Pat? But I keep reading these books and telling you about it, and I read that book that said, if you don't love somebody, you don't know them well enough. So I took that to heart, and one place we lived, we were in a building program, and there was this gentleman in charge of the building program, and I declare, nobody liked him. Not even his wife, I don't think, you know. But I'd read that book, and so I said, his name wasn't really this, but I said, Horace, tell me about the building program. 35 minutes later, I found out more about that building program than I wanted to know. But you see, he needed a friend to talk to it about. Isn't it a shame when our husbands can't talk to us about what's next to them? Ladies, are we this? Am I? I am so guilty so many times of so many things. And this man, he'd call me, something would come in. I learned what fur downs were. I just got so smart about the building. I'll never be able to use it. You know, an elder won't put me on the building committee. They never ask us about until they make a mistake. But you know, when we came to this job 12 years later, his was the first letter. You can do it. Anybody that can get up on those ladders and look at the fur downs can do it. But you see, would I have missed him? Who is Krusty that you're missing at home? And this is, you know, so many times I talk to me, who are you missing at home because you think, well, she wouldn't want to be my friend. And inside, she's one of those that's lonely 20% of the time. But you see, we put on this 8x10 glossy, don't we? You know, and I have people say to me, you don't have any problems. A preacher's wife, you know, they're not allowed to have any problems. Elders' wives definitely aren't allowed. But don't you see, crusty friend, but if I open this up on the inside, is she soft? And sometimes I have to dig a little. Diamonds are pretty, difficult to get to, but when you get a diamond, a friend that's like that. And when I go back to that congregation now, you know the couple that invites us out to lunch every time is that darling man and his wife. And when I started liking him, she did too. I'll leave that up to whatever you want to. Now, I was over 50, and I was an elder's wife, so it was all right. When God measures the greatness of an individual, he puts the measure around the heart. Where do you measure an individual? Do you look at her and say, she's not worth much to the Lord? How many would have said that of us, those that knew us? 1 Samuel 16:7, God sent Samuel to choose Saul's successor. And God told him, don't judge by a man's face or height, for this is not what I look for. I don't make decisions that way. I judge them not by the outward appearance, but the what? The thoughts and the intentions. Now, you and I don't have the privilege to always know their intentions, do we? So we just accept the ability. They're all good. So you don't have any problem if you do that. Because you see, what if they're not good? Whose responsibility is that? Whose? God's. It's not up to me, is it? If you want to be tacky, that's your problem. But don't you see where that relieves me all the time? My husband always assumes that people are being good to him until they absolutely knock him over. He doesn't worry. You can't if you're going to be going, pressing forward for the Lord. So, you need a crusty friend. And then later, she'll be like this soft breadstick. So you need that kind of friend. Uh-oh. Well, my cornbread always molds, but I've got to get a new recipe. Y'all have any cornbread friends? Down-home friends? Whose house can you go to and not have to have a two-day notice? Who can you go and sit in the middle of their bed and pour out your life's problems. Ladies, where are we coming from? Do you have any down home friends? You see, we build up such walls of, I have to be this, and I have to have this, and I have to have that. I have a friend in Searcy when we lived there, and I'd go and drink coffee with her one day and go back the next day, and my coffee cup would still be there, and I'd just rinse it out and drink some more coffee. But you see, she fed my soul. She wasn't so interested about the other things, but whose soul are you feeding? You see, nasty nice. I remember Mert Davidson used to say, clean enough to be healthy, dirty enough to be happy. But you see, we have to grow to that. Now, if you have the energy level that you can keep everything perfect and polished and everything, more power to you. But sometimes the best thing you can do is write, I love you in the dust and go on. What is important to you? Down home friend. We have only two grandchildren. One is 15. They're just like their mother and daddy. And the second one is two, Amelia, named after my mama. Amelia came to see us a year ago after she was born. Now, I clean the house. There are times. I don't want you to think there aren't times. You know, if you ever have as beautiful a granddaughter as mine, clean your house. Your son, who is 30, finally gets married, clean the house. Let little girls eat with napkins that you don't have to throw away. But you see, there's a time for that, isn't it? But is that all the thrust of my energy? Not usually, because most of us don't have that much energy. So you see, we have to decide the down home friend. We did something in ladies' Bible class. This is another. Have y'all had love soup? While we talk about it, maybe you want it. Can y'all see that enough? I'm sorry. But we had three Bible classes over at University Church. We had, I don't know, you'd have old, oldest, and older. I've forgotten. But anyway, we had Class A, Class B, and Class C, and you just decide. And we wanted to bring us all together. We usually meet individually, and we didn't want to have a big deal and everything. So we had love soup. And one class brought this, and one class brought this, and then the other class had to set up and clean up. And we had a big pot of stew meat, and we just, you know, made this stew meat. I tell you what, being real sneaky, you can just open cans of beef broth and brown the meat and put it in there. You know, a 5-minute recipe is the nicest thing you can get. But we had love soup, and we had this boiling in the kitchen. And when you came in, you brought a cup of whatever you wanted to cook. Somebody my age brought uncooked potatoes. Why couldn't it have been one of the younger women? But cook them and then bring them in. And you bring your favorite cup with your name on it, and I bring my favorite cup, and then I eat out of your cup, and you eat out of my cup. All right, did anybody have to stay home and miss the luncheon? You see, this is what we need to do. We need the cornbread kind of thing, don't we? One time we had green salad. I learned you're supposed to peel tomatoes. Did y'all know that? Hickaman. Some woman brought hickaman. I thought, what's she putting that potato in the salad for? But again, you see, down home. We just stood there and cut up everything together after Bible class. Nobody had to miss class, did they? Fruit salad, we did it the same way. You bring a banana, I bring a pear, strawberries, whatever. After class, we got in there. And all the time, though, we're talking about what's happening and what's going on. So these are things with your cornbread friend. We don't need 16-course meals all the time, do we? We've had a lot of fun because Bill often cooks for the students. Unfortunately, he will not always listen to me and about, honey, when you're going to cook pancakes, let the griddle get hot till the water bubbles. He didn't do that. But you know those kids ate those horrible pancakes. Because, you see, they like Brother Tig. Cornbread friends. See, it wasn't the food that they're coming for. It was the fun of being around the fireplace and being in a real home. That's what's important, ladies. What are we doing at your church? Somebody told me just yesterday of a couple that when they were in graduate school, she said, we went over to her house and it looked very lived in. She had three boys, but said, we will never forget her. Who are you feeding emotionally? Aha, what's this? Can you see it? What is it, B? Croissant. She said it almost right. It's croissant. You need an intelligent friend that knows what this really is. All of us need intelligent friends, don't we? Are you concerned with a person who has a doctor's degree? You know, it was so funny when my husband finally got his doctor's degree after all those years, and we thought we were really something, and nobody came to see us. And Helen's little friends were even afraid. They thought they were going to get a shot from the doctor. And Helen, again, being the last one, she always sets us, and she said, oh, he's the kind of doctor that doesn't do anybody any good. But are you put off by intelligence? Do you think, oh, you know, I wouldn't have anything in common with them? Beauty. I've never had that problem of being terribly beautiful, but often the girls on campus that are the prettiest have a problem. You know, you just think about that. Nobody wants to be there. Anybody with a 19-inch waist, I don't want to walk next to her. Do you have intelligent and beautiful friends that need you? Because together you walk along and you magnify your God. The nourishment that you get. CPAs, we have several women here in town that have CPAs, terribly intelligent, and they said, you know, my friends won't come see me anymore. Or someone gets a new house or a new car. I wish I had that kind of money. Do we do that to them? What kind of friend are you? My husband tells the story of complimenting a man at church who got a new car, and he says, you want to ride in it? You're the only one who hadn't put me down. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep. We're good at weeping. Boy, we got that down pat. But rejoice when my husband finally gets that doctor's degree, or my friend gets her CPA, or whatever. Do I rejoice? Am I that kind of friend? What about nutty friends? Y'all have any? Now, don't get carried away with too many nutty friends, but do you have any nutty friends? How many of you like garage sales? I hate them. But I have a niece in Nashville who loves garage sales. I am the recipient of many things she's purchased at. But where for under a dollar could you spend, my nuts are falling out. Where for under a dollar or a dollar and a half could you buy, you know, four things and have a Saturday morning of fun? Nutty friends? Do you have any nutty friends? Because what does that do? That feeds me, and then I go and I realize life isn't quite as serious as I think it is. You see, we all need those nutty, nutty friends, don't we? We used to have, when we lived in California, there were a lot of things we couldn't do, but we would go down to Bullock's Wilshire or something and try on the clothes. And we were hilarious. There were four or five of us, and the salespeople would love us and were really having a good time seeing us act like nuts. But then they'd say, well, where do y'all go to church? And you see, then we'd start telling. They'd say, well, anybody that has that much fun just trying on clothes, I want to be with. Okay, don't you see, though, all these things. I have some friends down the street that are very nutty. If somebody can't come to supper, I've cooked a marvelous meal, and at the last minute your child's sick or your husband is gone and you need somebody to come, I just call and say, y'all want to come to supper? Now, what if they say, well, you didn't ask me first. Why should I come now? They'd have missed all my marvelous meals. But you see, you need that kind of friend, and you need to be that kind of friend. If somebody calls you at the last minute and says, you know, I have a ticket to go somewhere, would you go with me? Why wasn't I invited first? Aren't I on your A-list? But again, we let all these things, unity, my part, you see, we need all these things together. Do you have any sticky bun friends? Who hugs you? How many hugs is it a day? I've forgotten to be nourished. Eight? Okay, four to go. Yeah, I'll see y'all afterwards. When I first came here, if I was ever lonely, I'd go and stand in the student center and the kids would love you. Nelson Coates came today. He's my special friend. I found out today I'm not the only woman in his life and I'm very annoyed. Huggers. Do you know, let me tell you something scientific, I didn't even know this, more than 1.5 million sensory fibers flow from my skin to my brain. Stimulate. See, you can even make a person a lot better in their brain. Skin, babies, you remember the story? If we don't love the babies, what happens? You have any sticky bun friends that are going to keep close to you? I hate for y'all to see, you probably see my wounds because I burn the fire whenever it gets cold. I turn the air conditioning on sometime and burn the fire. But there's often that coal that falls out. And what do? You ooch it back over. How many people at church have you ooched back over that have fallen out? Come on back. I'll come pick you up. You see, we just say, now if you ever need any help, honey, just call me. How many of you have really ever called anybody like that? But if you say, I'll be there, Delano Roberts, I'm not sure she's here, but she said when she had surgery, the lady says, I'll be there on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 9 to 10. You make me out a list of what to do. You see, this is what we need to do. The huggers, the ones that stand by you. Okay, last but not least, what's that? The heel. Y'all throw the heels out. Y'all throw the heels out. Some people call them unlovely. The unlovely. The lady who doesn't have what you and I may have. She doesn't look very pretty. Her teeth haven't been taken care of. She doesn't have the opportunity to bathe as often as you and me. Do we scoot down on the row? Or that lady that whose husband's not a member of the church and she has two children and she comes in and you see her and you think, oh, Lord, please don't let her sit by me with those noisy kids. Honest engine. Elder was telling me the other day, he said, you know, I always tell them I'm anxious to go to heaven where all the little children are going to be. I don't want to go down there where the babies aren't going to be. But you see, we treat those people like heels. And in James 2, 1 through 4, respecter of persons, am I guilty of that? Are they better because of God's love flowing through me? You know, sometimes you're not very attractive and I can't love you on my own. But when I look at you with God's eyes and with God's disposition, you're so pretty. Because you see, there's something in you to love. I may have to be like Horace on that building committee. It may take me a while to find it. But you see, somebody loved me. Who am I loving? With the fire, I've often thought if I ever get to have a ladies' Bible class again, I'm going to call them the Igniters. Because we're going to ignite the whole church. You go home tonight and you say, honey, I'm a dynamite woman. You scare him to death. But you know, if you have God's power in you, aren't you dynamite? Can't we make a difference in this world? Sure we can. And we've been listening to all this garbage. We're alone and we're nothing. We are children of our Lord. And we have dynamic power. When we do what God says and follow His word, and I magnify Him through, you know, one person. I just can't tell you how much difference it makes. Do y'all ever hate to go in a congregation alone? I see Norma Taylor back there going to Edmond. They never, when I came there, I was that weird California, you know, the land of dates and nuts, and they let me come to Edmond. But you know, they loved me. They didn't say, well, she's a Californian, be careful of her. Or, her husband left her. Be careful of her. We used to have a young girl who was divorced and she couldn't teach a Bible class even though her husband had left her. We had a man who came back at one congregation and he repented of his sins, but he was in partial fellowship, which we said he could give his money and he could come, but he couldn't wait on the Lord's table. Now, where are we? We need to think about that. All right, you say, but Peggy, all this takes effort. And I tried that in 1902, and I'm not going to try it again. I mean, you know, I'm smart. Is that the way we are? You know, I try it once, it doesn't work, just forget it. There are some people that don't even like Bill Teague. I can't imagine. But don't you see so many times? Sometimes you're not ready for me. Maybe I'm not as mature as you are. Maybe I'm more mature than you are. But don't you see, it takes effort to find that person that is my kind of person. This afternoon, we're going to be talking. The Lord had different levels of friendship, and I have that privilege. But it takes effort to have a friend. Some friends don't click, but you're going to have to work at it. One of the ladies from Breckenridge was telling me that she heard about this lady who was terribly, terribly lonesome, and she was telling about what a terrible congregation this was. You know, nobody was talking to her. And so Jean, my friend, said that lady sat on the back row, and the minute church was over, she was gone. She said, I sat on the back row. I'm faster than she is, and I caught up with her. Said she liked China painting, and I liked China painting. And you know, she was worth running after. Who have you run after? You see, it's so easy to say, well, if she wants to be my friend, let her come to me. But we need to run out. We need to risk. I'm told that when you make a sale, sometimes you have to go back 9 times. Fisher persons, Brother Belcher, you have to put 100 hooks in the water a lot of times before you get a fish. But some of us, if you don't get it the first time, quit. I'm not a fool. That's our attitude, isn't it? You ask that lady to go to church with you. One of my friends, though, I do think is a little bit out of line. She says, if you don't like me, you don't know what you're missing. She may have gone a little too far, but wouldn't it be great to be that kind of friend? So we have to risk, and we have to believe in people. Sometimes all my mistakes of the past muddle my future. Things could get better and surprise us all. But you know, we're so bogged down. Again, Paul says, press on. It's okay to look back. Just don't stare. Some of us are just staring back. We can't go forward. Got to stare at that problem, you know. But that's what we are. We've got to risk. And I've got to realize that I'm going to believe in you. I love the story of the little boy who said, Mama, when we say our prayers tonight, I want you to particularly help me. I'm new to the neighborhood and all the little kids are being mean to me. And I want to ask Jesus to be the kind of friend to them I wish they'd be to me. What lady that's been unkind to you? Have you thought, God, help me be the kind of friend to her I wish she'd be to me? The prayer that you have. If you pray for a person to become a certain way, They become that. But if you keep praying, you know, in their negativism, it won't. The golden rule, so many times, I forget it, don't I? Do unto others as I do. If you treated me like me, what is it? Your soul will prosper as you act. What kind of soul are you going to have? Will it prosper or will it shrivel up? The Lord's church doesn't need any disunity. If we love each other, when a problem comes, they say, Peggy Teague did such and such. Pat Varner, I think, would be my friend, and they'd say, Peggy Teague did such and such, and Pat would say, no, I know her. She didn't do that kind of thing. You see, because she loves me. Now, she might probably say, Peggy, did you really do that? But you see, she'd ask me first, wouldn't she? Rather than say, well, sure she did that. She's tacky as all get out. But you see, when she loves me, and that thing comes, isn't it easier when we have that kind of thing? Okay, so we're going to take a risk, and we're going to trust in other people. And real quickly, we have about 2 minutes. Number one, you're going to write letters. Does anybody in this thing write five-page letters anymore? I don't, but I love to get them. Get these cards. Address six of them. Go to the doctor's office, and when he makes you wait and you don't want to wait, write on the other side, I love you. I remember when. I get some of these. My worst days, I often will get two or three of these in the mail from friends. I have a friend in Oklahoma City particularly that sends me the loveliest thoughts. Just, you know, something you've read in a book. I think this would be interesting to you. But you at least are saying, I miss you. Visit a person. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 7. Was Paul encouraged when people came to see them? Are you the kind of person the person wants to see come, or do they not answer the door? Number three, call on the phone. We have several people who are older here, and they say, my phone never rings. Does your phone ring? If you have teenagers, it does. But some of these don't have teenagers. I want us to close by thinking, though, when we think about all these things and we think about how we're growing together as strong trees for the Lord, I'm always reminded of the sequoia trees in California that are 200 feet tall and 70 feet around. And the park ranger, somebody said, well, boy, those roots in that tree must be great. And the park ranger looked at him and he said, no, sequoia trees grow in groves and their roots are very shallow, but they wrap themselves around each other and hold each other up. Isn't that what our Lord is all about? Who are we holding up? You see, that's what we need to do. May God give us each strength to use the abilities we have to hold each other up. See you at 3:30, Lord willing.